And welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado during the slow but steady decline of the Christian influence in the Western world. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also here with me today. And friends, one of the reasons why we're seeing such a decline in terms of the influence of Christians upon our society, I think, is summarized in Proverbs chapter 31. And I want to get there in just a moment, Bill. But first, internet activity which violates the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, now I'm not going to talk about specific websites. I don't want to give them any press. Okay, but there are bad websites out there, and some call it porn. But friends, these are internet sites that encourage the violation of the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And internet activity around these sites has increased significantly in just the last years, 20% increase per year. That means addictions to these bad websites and traffic into these bad websites doubling every 4 to 5 years right now. The second largest seventh commandment violating website says their site was visited, get this, 42 billion times last year. That means
billion
times.
With a B.
With a B, that's right. That means the largest Seventh Commandment violating website be about probably close to 50, 60, 70 billion. So you're looking at least 100 billion visits to the top websites that encourage the violation of the Seventh Commandment. Friends, the visits to these bad websites are up 20% over the previous year. Again, now at 42 billion sites in 2019 for one site, 50, 60, 70 billion for another site. There are other sites just about as large. You're looking at 400 to 500 million visitors to just one of these sites. I don't know about the others, meaning that most of the world is visiting these bad websites that encourage the violation of the seventh commandment. The two major bad website portals are about to beat out, get this, Twitter and Instagram in web activity. Have you heard of these?
Yep.
Twitter and Instagram, probably used by the President of the United States.
Right.
Doesn't he do Twitter?
He does Twitter.
Doesn't just about everybody do Twitter? Well, these days. Do you hear?
And Twitter's kind of the sewer of communication, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is, because Twitter followers, it can be used for good because you can make comments, but for the most part, it's dominated by those who are negative. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But
all right,
Twitter and Instagram were two big ones for a while,
they're
but
huge.
Now you're saying they're being eclipsed
by these bad websites that want to violate the seventh commandment. Friends, we're looking at a massive, massive, massive explosion into the internet world, into the brains of hundreds of millions of men and women, by the way, around the world today. And the two major bad web portals are about to beat out Twitter and Instagram probably this year. So they will squeeze out Twitter and Instagram this year. One of them went from number 16 to number 7, most visited website on the World Wide Web, in 3 years. So one of them went from number 16 to number 7 in just 3 years, about to beat out Instagram and Twitter. And the other went from number 22 to number 8 in 3 years. A third went from number 25 to number 14 in 3 years, according to the rating organization SimilarWeb.com. Man, there's a pitiful little site out there. I feel sorry for them, but I just happened to come across it. And actually, this is what stimulated me to address this issue on this edition of the program. It's a pitiful little website. I felt bad for it, basically. They're collecting signatures to shut down these big, horrible websites that violate women and men and little children right and left. And she's got a little petition out, right? She's got a petition out, and she's gathered like 20,000 signatures to shut down sites that collect 500 million visitors a year.
I mean, truly a David versus Goliath.
That's David about 0.1 inches versus Goliath.
But with God, all things are possible.
I guess so.
And you know what? More power to her, because what she's doing is she's taking a stand when most people will throw up their hands and go, there's nothing we can do. Let's move on. Let's let them have it. She's fighting.
She's still in the fight.
Praise God.
Praise God there's somebody left. The internet has become the means by which the world is killing itself. Friends, just admit it. The primary means by which the people of the world are killing themselves is by walking into isolation, the destruction of sexuality, marriage, and the family, the destruction of interpersonal relationships, and it happens by way of these bad websites that are collecting 50 billion visits a year now, doubling every 4 years. Be back in just a few. Friends, listen. There is nothing families need more than godly husbands and fathers, spiritual men, praying men, men who are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, that God would raise up stronger men, gentle, faithful shepherds, covenant keepers, men who won't quit, men who stay in the battle, men who persevere when the going gets tough, sacrificial lovers, robust men, not snowflakes. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So the apostle tells us, quit ye like men, be strong. That's why the Shepherd's Conference each year in my home here in Elizabeth, Colorado. Let me tell you, it's the best fellowship, the best worship, the best encouragement, the best exhortation, 5 days of immersive study in the Word of God, prayer and fellowship at my place out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, September 28th through October 2nd this year. Here's the caveat, there are only 45 spots open, reserved now at generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds. And we are back on the Generations radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with me. Today talking about the number 7, number 8 largest websites in the world, the largest web portals that attract the most followers, the most visits in any given year. We're talking 50 billion visits, increasing 20% per year, and beating out Twitter and Instagram in probably just another few months. Friends, we're looking at the largest web portals that indeed are promoting gross violations of the Seventh Commandment and bringing about mass destruction upon hundreds of millions, if not billions of people around the globe, destroying families, destroying marriages, and entire civilizations. This, my friends, is the dry rot and the corruption that destroys entire civilizations happening even as we speak. Now, Bill, it turns out I'm not for legislating against speech crimes and thought crimes. We've talked about that on a recent program.
Right.
But what goes on with these websites, the number 7, number 8 most popular websites on the internet today, what goes on these sites is downright criminal. And just make no mistake about it. These sites publish criminal activity, criminal forms of sexuality. And here's the deal. They make money off of it.
Right.
And this is the point. And friends, I don't know if you may be listening and you may be clicking on this website. If you click on this website, if you participate with these websites, we're talking the number 7, number 8, most trafficked websites in the world. If you contribute to these websites, you are contributing to sexual crimes and you are a criminal in God's eyes. You know, these guys post, and I don't even want to describe these things, Bill.
No.
I told you a little bit about it off air because I wanted you to understand why I take the position I do, that these guys need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. In fact, there needs to be a law legislated because there isn't a law legislated about this kind of stuff. But because they post the most wretched crimes known to man and they make money off of it, they support kidnapping, they support abuse, they support criminal activity that are listed as capital crimes in Scripture according to the laws of God, who, by the way, knows everything there is to know about justice because He is the source of justice.
Yeah, now, these are heinous crimes against those who are the most vulnerable and innocent in our culture.
That's a good way to put it.
And it does need to be prosecuted, and it does demand capital punishment. And that's where the state has lost its saltiness in preventing evil and has not been a minister of God for good.
And you probably know why, is because these legislators and oftentimes our political leaders are all wrapped up in sexual crimes, sexual sins, and they're visiting these sites too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they all do. I'm just saying they do.
No, it's the nature of man. Man tends toward the evil, and man tends toward enabling that which is evil if he participates in it. That's why we need to elect those who are righteous to positions of authority. That's why we need to elect those who fear God and not man to positions of authority.
And friends, judgment begins at the household of God. And you know, Bill, that the rates of those that participate in these activities in the average American churches is about the same as the world around them. There's almost no statistically significant difference between the 80% who claim to be Christian, who are visiting these sites, and those that do not claim to be Christian. There's almost no statistical difference between the population of those within the church or outside of the church that are participating in this kind of evil. Again, friends, if you contribute to these websites, you know you're contributing to these crimes. You're part of the kidnapping. You're part of the problem. It's probably true that not all the videos support criminal activity, but some do. That's the point. As Paul would write, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. I think that pretty much nails it. You know what? When you are making money off of it, and when you are getting sexual delight off of the same thing, you're pretty much the guy that Paul is defining here when he says, you know, not only do they practice these things and they're deserving of death, but they approve of those who practice them. In other words, they're sitting there watching this video and they're approving of whatever sexual crime is going on there. Wow, the guys that run these sites are culpable. I think most culpable. So if you're looking at who's most culpable in all of this, it's got to be the producers, but also those that are posting and receiving remuneration from the posting of these videos. The guys who run these sites are culpable. Governments need to legislate and execute laws against these guys who run these sites. I think that's the bottom line here, Bill.
Yeah. It's not only those who produce it, but those who enable it by funding it.
Yeah. Well, here's one more thing. I think, Bill, this massive increase. I mean, we're looking at, you know, how many people do you know participate in Instagram and Twitter? It's a lot, right? I mean, it's just like half the church or whatever, right? I mean, there's just a lot of people, and we're not saying that's wrong, but you know, the prevalence of visits to these sites is equal to visits to Twitter and Instagram. So this is huge, and it's affecting the church too. I think of Psalm 30 or Proverbs 31 that speaks to what is going on. I often wonder what's happening with the men in politics or the men in the church that could be standing for our liberties or could be standing for the pro-life cause or could be engaged at some level in leadership, in their families, in the church, the community. Bill, I'm wondering if maybe Proverbs 31 ties in here, because this comes back to me again and again where, you know, the mom shows up in Proverbs 31, turns to her son and says, "What, my son? What son of my womb? What son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women nor your ways to that which destroys kings." I wonder if that ties in here.
No, I think it does. And I think what happens is that we have a lot of wasted time, effort, energy resulting in guilt.
Yeah. Right.
Which then neutralizes the man from standing up as the protector of, rather than the predator of. Mm-hmm. So because they are seduced into these sites, then they become neutralized, and the guilt eats at them.
Yeah.
And they feel the hypocrisy
of
speaking out against it.
You're right. You're right. I think the word neutralizes is the word I was looking for. Yeah, this neutralizes at so many different levels. let's say first and foremost that this is why we come to Jesus. I mean, let's just say that. I mean, this is why Jesus died on the cross, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to forgive our iniquities, these sins, to deal with the problem of guilt, to be able to sing, "My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee." Have you ever run into a guy who just sings that because you know he's been set free?
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful thing. Just a beautiful thing. A couple other takeaways, friends, before we're done with this segment of the program. First of all, brace yourself. Bill, I think brace yourself. The last 10 years, think about the massive increase. We're talking about orders of magnitude increasing in terms of the billions of people that visit the websites, these websites we've talked about. Brace yourself, friends. The last 10 years of sowing bad seeds is going to reap a rough harvest. Galatians 6:7, let's come back to this again and again. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." So there is a reaping and sowing principle that we need to be aware of here. Families really are affected for generations. Churches are impacted when pastors fall into sin. I mean, you could say, well, God is gracious, and yeah, he is. He is. But that doesn't mean we don't go through periods, perhaps generations, of pain as a result of what happened. You think about this, Bill. Think about a father who falls asleep while he's driving a car on vacation. You know, they're going down the highway at 70 miles an hour. He falls asleep, gets into a horrible wreck. Are there consequences to that?
Yes.
There just are. And I think we need to remember that there are consequences to these things, friends. And as pastors, we're going to be dealing with the destruction of families, marriages for the next 30 years. I think the fallout is going to happen, and it will be intense. It will be intense, my friends. Churches are going to have to deal with this. They're going to have to walk side by side periods of 20, 30 years at a time, working with families through these problems, perhaps even disfellowshipping men who will not repent of it, and men who are destroying their families, and where so much of this transfers into abuse. And I don't even want to think about that, how much that's going to happen. But friends, also remember the gospel will increasingly be relevant to those in bondage of sin, those who have the ears to hear, because Jesus did come to set the captives free. And we read from Matthew 1:21, "You shall call his name Yeshua." You shall call his name Jesus. You shall call his name Joshua, the great Savior. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. You know, you hear those words, and those with ears to hear, those who are stuck in this pattern of sin, and they hear these words, and they're going to say, that's going to mean a lot. Those who are fixated on perversion, the idolatry of sensuality, self-centeredness of self-gratification, hear these words. "You shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins," and they'll believe it. And it will be a glorious thing to them. So again, we come back to the gospel again and again. The gospel will be relevant. The gospel will have a power to it. The gospel will set captives free and enable them to be able to lead their families and their churches and their communities and engage in the battle for righteousness in the public spheres we've talked about. Why? Because they've been set free. How? By Jesus. Here's one more takeaway, Bill, as I'm thinking about this. One more takeaway. I want you to interact with this for a minute. I think the world has become increasingly incapable of saving itself.
Well, think
about governments here, Bill. What can governments do to stop any of this?
What you got there is...
How can they stuff the Pandora's box back into the box? You know, how does this happen?
That's called a BFO, a blinding flash of the obvious. Thanks for that insight there, Kevin.
but just where we are today, Bill, governments are powerless to stop the killing of babies by pills and the Pandora's box of porn and the birth implosions that come as a result of this nihilist sexuality. You know how many governments right now are actually trying to reverse the birth implosion problem?
Several.
They're trying
of them,
to pay people to have babies. And
right.
You know how well it's working?
Not very well.
That's right. You know why? because they have mass-produced a self-oriented existentialism, which is completely supported by technology, the ability to buy the right kinds of pills and to hook yourself up to the right kind of porn and to kill the babies by the pills and all the rest. Friends, human governments are collapsing. They simply cannot handle problems this big. And I think we've come to the point at which we're going to say this, Bill. Only Jesus can help us now. That's a pretty good position for the church to be in.
I think so.
Well, I don't want to leave young men who are struggling with this issue high and dry right now. Bill, I want to end with just a few takeaways. We talked about the gospel. That's first and foremost. But here's one more thing that I would recommend for young men. I've been talking to a fair number of young men about these issues for a couple of months now. And here's one of the thing takeaways. You know what? The 10 to 12 week program doesn't work. The 10 to 12 week, you know, we're going to do accountability in the church for 10 to 12 week. We do a short study on sexual, sinful issues, whatever. 10 to 12 weeks, you know, small group. Daily, weekly accountability for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, side by side with a faithful pastor or counselor,
is
the only way. It's walking beside,
yeah,
being accountable.
There's no quick fix on this,
no,
because it is so, it becomes so ingrained and rooted. It is like a drug.
Yeah.
It has the same effect as a drug, the same after effect, and people crave it, especially men, because we're wired for visual response. And so it's not going to be a quick fix, but it is going to be an opportunity for the church to step up and begin to disciple and to come alongside.
I like that.
And
yeah,
build community.
Yeah, and I think this is the only way to do. You can't mass produce this. You're not mass producing this. No, no, no. This is men willing to get down, get honest, get transparent, dig in for the long haul, and walk side by side with a pastor. You know, I meet with two guys every Tuesday morning over at Castle Rock, actually right next to where you live at that King Supers.
Mm-hmm.
We meet every Tuesday morning. It's called the Kill Sin Meeting, where, you know what? We have rolled up our sleeves. We are looking to Jesus, and we are meeting every Tuesday. And we've done it for at least a year now, Bill, and I think we're in it for the next couple of years. And these guys are dead to rights, ready.
Yeah,
to kill sin. I mean, they are committed. And I think that's commitment. It's a commitment to it. Realizing, number one, you're not going to deal with it all in the next 12 weeks. And we just talked about that. But secondly, is just that commitment, that will, is that conviction to dig in and just go. Here's one more thing. Get violent, friends. There's got to be a violence in the Christian life. That's what Jesus told us. He says, you got to be willing to snap off a right arm. You got to be willing to pluck out a right eye if it offends you. Take a hammer to your cell phone and don't sell it for $250 on eBay either. Make it hurt. Take a hammer to your iPhone that you just paid $480 for. Take a hammer. Make it hurt. Say, well, that's really going to hurt. Okay, make it hurt. A little violence. That's what Jesus calls us to. It doesn't say you got to be literally cutting your right arm off or literally plucking your right eye out. What he's saying is, hey, go after your flesh. Mortify your sinful flesh. Of course, by the power of the risen Christ, by the power of the life that's in you, but looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Yes, yes. But friends, there has to be a violence about it. There has to be an offense to the flesh, an offense to the pride, offense to the lust. Perhaps you might even fast for 40 days. Maybe you fast from entertainment entirely for 6 months. You're like, oh no, I could never do that. Try it. Just try it. Friends, a little violence in the Christian life is appropriate. Why? Because, well, that's what the Lord told us to do. And let me end with John Piper. You mentioned John Piper. I love this analogy from John Piper. He says, you've gone to bed with the wrong woman. Jacob wakes up with Leah in the morning, and he realizes he's married to the wrong woman. And that's the way sin is in our life.
It's the wrong woman.
We wake up and realize we're with the wrong woman.
Yeah.
We don't want to be with this woman. That's the way Jacob was when he woke up with Leah. He says, this is the wrong woman. He says, John Piper says that's the way it is with sin. You've woken up with the wrong woman. God is better. Christ is better. The cross is better than the world, the flesh, and the devil. Why would you want to embrace the feces of the world over the beauty and the glory of Christ and the majesty and the holiness of God? We'll end there on the Generations broadcast. Well, I'd encourage you to our resources on these things. Encourage you to our Bible study guides through the Psalms and through the Proverbs. Wow, there's so much in the Proverbs that speak directly to this issue. I'd encourage you to read the Word, be rooted in the Word, use our Bible study guides through Psalms and the Proverbs, so basic for our children and for ourselves. In fact, the most basic curriculum on life is the book of Proverbs. And God provides it as part of the compendium, His Word, for our children, for ourselves, as we disciple our children in our homes. And there's so much to say about sexuality in Proverbs 5 and Proverbs 7, as we've read in Proverbs 31. I encourage you to the Proverbs Bible study guides that we have produced as part of the Generations Ministry. So basic to the Christian life. So very basic to the Christian discipleship program. I encourage you to these resources, the Proverbs Bible study guides at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.